This episode of On the Limb with Nature's Voice Game Calls is brought to you by Stick Tamer Bow Silencers. Are you a traditional archery hunter or shooter? Stick Tamer was specifically designed for the recurve shooter. Made of a hybrid foam rubber material, Stick Tamer is designed to deaden string slap and limb vibration. Stick Tamer reduces limb and string noise, water resistant, and lasts shot after shot. Made in the USA from a hybrid foam rubber for durability. To purchase Stick Tamer and for more information, visit 3RiversArchery.com and BlackWidowBows.com. Stick Tamer bow silencers are available exclusively at 3RiversArchery.com and BlackWidowBows.com. Alright guys, welcome to another episode of On the Limb Podcast with Nature's Voice Game Calls. I have to do a little editing, or no, sound there on my headphones.
Okay.
I can't hear myself very well, but
all right.
I had that all messed up last week because we had four callers coming in from all over the states, and we had a spring gobbler season update here in West Virginia. That was a good time that you missed. But we've got Dave, production manager, back in the house tonight.
I'm back.
And we don't have Dan. It's kind of sad that you would pick a dinner over being here with your good friends on a podcast talking about turkey hunting.
Well, he told me he wanted to tag in. He wanted me to tag in for him.
Oh,
so
is that
we're swapping places.
Okay, like wrestling match. Like.
Kind of.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you. That's why you came in like Rocky.
Yeah,
he entered the studio doors like Rocky this evening. Yeah,
so. I did, and I was even singing the Rocky theme
song. He was.
Yeah.
Anyways, so just to mention, like we said last week, West Virginia spring gobbler season, we had hunters on all over the country from Wood County all the way to Boone. That episode airs tomorrow. And episode 99 with our legislative session update with Jason Webb, it dropped last week, so it's out now. So if you haven't had a chance, go check it out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcast.
Nice.
And if you haven't got a turkey call yet, thank God, I need to clap because we're all caught up with turkey calls this year.
Nice.
Yeah. So as of right now, I'll just let you know out there, we're all caught up. If you want to make an order, we're good to go. But if you haven't got a turkey call and you're local here in the Charleston area, you can visit Spring Hill Rod and Gun at 4961 McCorkle Avenue Southwest. And they are open Tuesday through Saturday, and they're closed on Sunday and Monday. Stop in there and get you a locally handmade West Virginia mouth call, pot call, or box call.
Nice.
So we appreciate your guys' support. So tonight we have, I want to say this right now, it's Moose Maine Kids.
Nice.
I think I said that right, didn't I?
Yes.
Okay.
No. You got him backward again.
No, that's what he sent me.
He said it's Maine Moose.
Are
not
you
Moose
sure?
Maine. Yeah,
are
yeah,
sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Maine Moose Kids?
Yeah, I think so.
Nah, I think you're wrong. We'll find out in just a minute. All right, anyway, so without further ado, please welcome with me Ron Greco, Hunter Jellison, and Eric Gagnon.
Woo!
How you guys doing this evening?
Pretty good.
Can you hear us?
I got you, sir.
We got you.
Okay.
They didn't want to talk over each other.
Oh, that's what it was. So did I get it right or was I wrong again?
Well, it's Moose Maine Kids.
Moose Maine Kids. See, I told you.
Yeah.
Man, I had it wrong.
Yeah, you messed
you
me up.
You shouldn't have said it wrong before the show.
I know. See, that's what always happens.
Yeah, I know.
I end up saying it wrong and then everybody else follows suit.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everybody does it. It's all right.
I don't know why it just rings better in my head, Maine Moose Kids. I'm thinking about Maine, I guess. So what is Moose Maine Kids?
Well, this is Ron Greco. Moose Maine Kids is a nonprofit that we set up to increase engagement in hunting, primarily through increasing youth opportunities in hunting. And we also have a program where we do dream adventures for kids with critical illnesses and severe disabilities, sort of like a make-a-wish, except for kids that like hunting fish.
Awesome. So 100% free for the kids and the families. How is that possible? How is that made possible?
Well, we do some fundraising, and we're working on doing more so we can do more hunts. And basically, our biggest fundraiser over the last 3 years is we have a fully licensed lodge facility under Moose Main Kids. And through that, we get a outfitter's tag for a Maine moose hunt. And we have been raffling that off every year.
Awesome. So you guys getting a good following from that, or?
Yes, we have a really good following for that. Last year was the first year we auctioned it off, actually, the year before we sold it. And it took us, probably 2.5 months last year to sell 300 tickets. And this year we sold out in 2 weeks.
Oh my goodness. So, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
So it's getting.
Yes. Yeah. And most of that was reselling to people that had purchased the year before.
So. Nice. So it's getting some good leverage.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's getting good leverage. We try to not be too greedy with the raffle. I think we've probably got, as far as there are some other nonprofits that do the same thing and partner with a guide or an outfitter, and they're doing the same thing, but they're selling a lot more tickets at the same price.
Yeah.
So, we're sticking with where we've been, and it's good money, and it's easy to get greedy and want to make more, but
for sure.
It's also we got other things to do other than sell raffle tickets. So
yeah. So
we got to judge our cycles.
Yeah, definitely. It'll come over time. You guys have been building this up for a while now. How long has Moose Main Kids been in business?
So we started officially in 2018 with starting to do some youth bear hunts out of my for-profit lodge at the time in Springfield, Maine. And every year since then, we've increased. And I think that first year was 5 kids. And now last year we were at 110, and this year we're targeting 150.
Wow.
So
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So you have Hunter there on the line with us. Hunter's your right-hand man, I guess.
You could say that. Yeah. Yeah. I spent a lot of time with Ron. We spent a lot of time together, mainly, I handle a lot of the video side of things.
Okay.
Anytime we're at events or hunts, I try and bounce around and, be everywhere I can at once. And,
yep.
I like to stay behind the camera while Ron stays in front of it.
I got you.
So I tend to do a lot of video, and then, whatever time I can donate to help, especially our spring turkey hunt this year, we had just about 60 kids we took out in the woods with all of our volunteers across Maine. That took a few weeks of computer time staring at a screen to make sure we could coordinate everybody and get it set up. So I help Ron whenever I can. I also work for him on the for-profit side of things. That's kind of my role, is I just help where I can, and I put a lot of stuff on film.
Gotcha. So you're kind of the marketing and film guy.
Essentially, yep.
Nice. Yep. So do you all film every event that goes out, every hunt, or is it just, here and there a little bit?
Whatever we can. Okay. I mean, even if it's just down to we tell all of our volunteers for the turkey hunt to, if you can, even if you take your phone out, just pressing record is one of the biggest things we could have.
Yeah.
Capturing a memory like that in a moment is huge. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like doing it so much. So everywhere I can be, I tend to try and be, you know, at every event I can, so I can film. And we do have a YouTube channel.
Okay.
So we've been posting on there as well as on our Facebook.
Tell everybody about that YouTube channel. Where can they reach at it?
Yeah, so if you just look up Moose Maine Kids, it should be the only one, hopefully, on YouTube there.
Yeah.
Nice. We have a few videos so far. I posted one from last year. We did our first official dream adventure with a kid named Lucius. Great guy. Been through a lot with him, and he's been through a lot in life, and we had a great time. Great kid, and we went up to a hunt preserve and got him a few successful hunts. So that video is on there as well as some of our other stuff. But in the future, you can definitely look forward to seeing a lot more from the Moose Maine Kids YouTube channel.
Yes, awesome. So Ron, this is not just obviously y'all do a lot more things than hunting. That's one of the main focuses. But tell us some other things that you all do with the kids.
Yeah, well, other than hunting, you know, we do have a shooting program, although albeit small, and it's partially a qualification for some of the hunting stuff. So we run some trap shoots across Maine. We do six locations in the summer, and give kids a chance to come out and shoot some trap and get familiar with using a shotgun and shooting moving targets. And other than that, the Dream Adventures program is the only thing that we really branch out of hunting with. And in that, we'll do anything outdoors in the sense of, you know, if it's hiking or boating or fishing. You know, we got some great trips lined up this year. We got Struggle is Real Charters. They're doing a striper / shark hunt for a fish for us. So that's gonna be a fun one. We're going bass fishing up at Cozy Cove Cabins on Bigwood and Jackman. You know, those are it's just all whatever the kids want, you know, and some kids just want to fish and some kids want to hunt and some kids just want to be able to explore. And, you know, we totally get that. It's, you know, if they want to just explore, that's fine. Let's get them out into nature, and get them as normal a day or week or weekend, whatever it is, so that they can sort of get a vacation from their illness, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just the handicap or people that have illnesses that you're taking. You're also just taking regular youth as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. So yes, our main program, the hunting program, is any kid.
Okay,
you know, whether it's with a sick kid or it's a kid with you know, no money, single mom, too many jobs, not got the skills and abilities to go out there and teach our kids how to hunt. It's anybody that signs up. And, you know, we do it in two methods, basically. We do drawings for some things where we're going to get a lot of kids signed up. And we do some first come, first serve stuff as well, where we just, you know, we can't manage the lottery for the big numbers. So we just, you know, whoever signs up first are the ones that gets it.
That was actually going to be my question, because I know with the lottery system, I didn't know if you, you know, how you guaranteed you would get a hunt. You know what I'm saying? Because, that was kind of my question on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's make sure I understand your question first. Are you asking, if you're a kid, how do you guarantee that you get to go on a hunt?
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, with the main lottery system, how do you all as an organization, you know, guarantee that you're going to win?
Oh, I get
you know, yeah.
Yeah, so all of our stuff that we take kids on, for the most part, is stuff that you can buy over-the-counter tags for.
Oh, okay, okay. Cool.
So when we get to Moose, what we've done in the past with Moose is we've always put ourselves out there to help any kid, any family that doesn't feel comfortable getting through a moose hunt. And we've also taken a number of veterans and their kids on hunts over the last few years. And this year, we were lucky enough to pass through state of Maine's legislature and governor, and we got legislation passed to increase the number of moose permits available to kids with critical illnesses from 2 to 5. And those additional tags will have to be done for main kids. So main kids will get priority. If there wasn't a main kid, then obviously we could do a non-resident youth. But trust me, there are over 60 cases of cancer diagnosed, youth cancer in Maine every year. There are plenty of kids that are out there and looking to do something like that. So
what bill was that? What bill number was that? So we can list it in our description. Do you know?
Oh boy. I can't remember the bill number. I can look it up and message you later.
Okay. That sounds great. So we've also got Eric Gagnon on here. He's also a pro staffer for Nature's Voice Game Calls, but he is a registered Maine guide as well. Eric, how you doing this evening?
Not too bad, yourself. And Hunter and Ron are also both registered Maine guides.
I was gonna go back to that later on because I figured with his other business that he was probably a registered guide as well.
Correct.
So
no, I'm doing well.
Tell us a little bit about your involvement in this hunt.
So I just kind of know Ron through some mutual friends, and we got to talking hunting and stuff, and he just kind of asked one day what I was doing and if I could lend a hand on some bear hunts last year for the youth. So I ended up just kind of going up there. Of course, having my own children, it's a little hard to break away sometimes to take away from them. But my youngest is aging out this year for the youth day hunts, so I'm going to be able to get a little bit more involved here starting next year. It's the person I am. I grew up with helping others, and it's just, it really fits a lot of my beliefs. So I was very interested and intrigued when Ron talked to me about it. So it's just kind of how and why I got involved.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm sure Ron's thankful for all the hands on board that he can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's definitely a lot of logistics involved.
Oh, yeah, I can guarantee it. I mean, you probably start planning right after the, first big event's over for the next one.
Pretty much.
This turkey hunt that you all just done, it involved 60-some youth. Out of those 60, how many connected on birds?
that's a really good question, and I don't have an answer yet. I haven't been able to connect with everybody quite yet. It sounds a lot simpler than it really is.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Just
the stats aren't in.
It's a lot of emails, a lot of Facebook posts, and trying to come up with who's doing what, and which kid, which guide, because I, tend to hear from multiple sources afterwards. We'll hear from the family, we'll hear from potentially the kid through social media or text or whatever, and then we also hear from the guides. So trying to get a final number coordinated ends up being a lot more work than what
we're having a little bit of technical difficulties, guys. Birds. Yeah, you broke out there. I think service is a little bad there. Yeah, we didn't get we didn't get any of that.
Some kids, we had a lot of misses this year. I don't know what the deal was with the shooting this year. I partially think it's a good sign because I think we're getting out and reaching kids that aren't very experienced. So, and that's really important to us. I think we got a lot more attention from families and kids that were already getting out in the outdoors.
Yeah.
So,
Hunter, you're breaking up really bad. It's like really choppy. We can't even hear you. We're going to switch over to Ron. Ron, can you kind of reiterate what he's talking about there? If you could have heard any of that, or are you in the same area with the bad service?
Yeah, Ron was the one talking. I was starting to wonder if it was my connection.
We hear you really well. Yeah, we hear you really good.
I caught a little bit of what Ron was saying.
Go ahead. Am I clear now?
Guys? Yeah, you're clear now.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry.
No,
technological glitch there, but
so if you don't care, kind of go back to your beginning there, and we'll kind of take all that out in the actual recorded version.
No, I don't care at all. I'd rather get it right than So So getting back, yeah, we had, you know, it's hard to coordinate everything and get the final tally. It's a lot of work. We end up hearing from the kids. We hear from the parents. We hear from the guides, you know, and trying to get reconcile, I guess, all 60-ish responses is a little bit tough. And part of that is even last week, right down to the wire, we were making changes and adding kids in and, you know, signing up volunteers. So some of the records weren't as good the last minute, just because of, you know, sort of drop everything like, hey, let's get as many out as we can, you know, type of thing. So, you know, I've got everything. I've got a tracking sheet online, and I do try to track everything. But right now I haven't got a final number. Estimate that we're going to be around 30 birds, nice, give or take.
Wow.
Yeah. Had some good shooting, had some bad shooting. Had one young man shoot two with one shot.
Oh, nice.
Had a few kids that shot two. Definitely had a lot of misses this year. Not sure, but I think that's part of us starting to reach our target audience a little bit better.
Yeah.
We had you know, with the poor shooting early on in our programs, I think we got a lot of kids that were, you know, coming from hunting backgrounds, familiar with firearms. That was our audience. You know, that was our start. And, you know, they might have hunted for 3 or 4 years, but never got a chance to turkey hunt.
Yeah.
So they'd come on the turkey hunt, but they'd be good shooters. So they do really well. Now we got a lot of young kids. We get kids. We go eight and up for the turkey hunt. So we get some really young kids, and I'll provide them everything they need, and we'll give them, you know, a firearm if they need it, you know. So what we'll do, I mean, I've got now after this week, we've got 5 410s, I think, for the program.
Nice.
And it's just, if somebody's in and they need, you know, they need a firearm to go make this hunt possible, I get with the guide volunteer, and I'll give them the ammo and the firearm, and they meet up with the kid to teach them how to shoot. And we do a lot of stuff out of blinds and in some bog death grips, that really makes it a much safer situation for a beginning shooter. Cause they really don't have to think about a lot. The guide can handle the weapon more or less until it's time to aim and pull the trigger. And
yeah,
I think that's a benefit of the program and the way that we work. It's just, you know, because safety's always got to be first when you're dealing with a firearm.
Definitely.
So anything that we can do to make things, you know, incredibly safe, and knock on wood, we'll never have an accident.
Awesome.
And I don't expect any, but, you know, anything's possible at any time, but
yeah,
the way that we do things for the most part, and having, you know, really seasoned volunteers, people that have hunted forever, that have gone through guide training and become registered. Almost all of our volunteers are registered Maine guides.
Awesome.
We do have some that aren't, but they are fully vetted within the program by people that are already part of the program. You know, that we get a really good sense for the skill level. You know, it's usually younger men. We do really well with younger men getting involved. You know, they hunted, and there's plenty of them out there that they didn't come from hunting backgrounds, and it was a family friend or an uncle that stepped up to take them hunting. And,
yeah,
you know, this program was never available for them. And, you know, they just dive right in because they think it's awesome, and they want to make sure that, you know, any kid that wants to go gets a chance to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's exactly what we're looking for. So those folks fit in really well with the program.
For sure. We're going to take a break real quick, and after a word from our sponsors, we want to go into kind of fathers in this day and time and how it pertains to how hunting's changed. Do you want the true Western hunt experience? Book your hunt of a lifetime today with Highland Outfitters, LLC. Located in Highland, Wyoming, 50 miles west of Casper.
Their location in central Wyoming gives you access to some of the best hunting areas in the state. Highland specializes in archery hunts for elk and antelope. Their operations include Wyoming, Texas, and Africa. Highland Outfitters should employ some of the finest guides in the business. All guides are licensed by the Wyoming Board of Professional Outfitters and Guides. No matter what the species you decide to hunt, you can count on your guide giving you 110% of being the true professional guide from start to finish. Book your hunt today at 307-797-3311 or 307-797-3312. Visit them on the web at highlandoutfitters.com. With Highland Outfitters, you will get the true Western adventure.
All right, guys, we're back with Moose Main Kids, and we've got Ron Greco. Hunter Jellison, I think, there is in the background. And he was having
I'm here.
He was having some pretty bad phone service there for a little bit. And we got Eric Gagnon, pro staffer for Nature's Voice Game Calls. And all these guys are registered Maine guides. So before the break there, we were talking about safety and how, you know, some of these kids don't have the fathers to raise them in the outdoors, maybe an uncle or a grandpa or maybe even a nephew or something is taking them hunting. So how have you all seen that change in the last 20 years?
Well, that's a great question. Go ahead, Eric.
I've actually seen more women getting involved and taking their kids out than I have fathers.
Yes.
Ironically, women are the fastest growing sportsmen here in Maine. I don't know how it is across the country, but in Maine for sure. Like last year on one of the bear hunts that I was helping Ron, there was a mother and son who the son showed interest in hunting and the father had no interest. So mom said, "Hey, what the heck? I'll see what it's about." And
so I think you got hit with the bad service bug there too. You're breaking up a little bit,
man.
I know y'all are in the deep woods there in Maine, but we. I thought we was going to be able to be better with the phone call. Last time we had Eric on, we were on internet, and we went down like five times. But we still we still got it done.
Let me move aside.
He's trying to watch.
I'll jump in if you don't mind.
No, you're
Eric,
good.
While you get squared away, but this is Ron again. And I agree with what Eric was saying that, you know, we definitely have a lot more women getting involved.
And I think that's a great thing.
Helping their kids you know, they're, even though they're not experienced, they're willing to jump in and figure it out.
Yeah.
And do what's right for their kids. And that's awesome to see. Yes. And I think we do really well in, you know, a certain, demographic with the kids that sign up for our programs. We see a lot of kids that come from broken families. I'm not sure if I should say it like that, but families where fathers aren't maybe not as involved as they could be for whatever reason. The mothers sort of stepping up and just looking for these opportunities. And when they find our program, they're just, you know, they're beside themselves and they're gleeful, so to speak, because, you know, it's something that they know that they can't do as well as they really want to. You know, they support the program, in other ways other than guiding. You know, they step up and help and spread the word and helping, raise funds and, you know, just any of the stuff that we need to continue to grow and be successful. So it's, you know, it's there's always something for volunteers to do when you're talking about programs that are this big. There's always, you know, something that's not just taking a kid out hunting.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be as simple as, you know, helping prepare meals when we do some of our events or, you know, running to the store to grab sodas or pizza or whatever. There's always something small that needs to be done.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a big organization. You guys are growing and growing. So the more help, the better there for sure. With your firearms and things like that, where do you get that from? Who supplies those? And are those donated or do you all purchase them?
So that's a great question, and I'm really glad to answer this question. I'm glad you asked it because Boss Tom actually made a wonderful donation to the program this year. They sent us 20 boxes of TSS, 10 of 410 and 10 of 20 gauge for the hunt this year. So pretty much every kid in the program was out there shooting with Boss Tom TSS ammo. And, you know, I think I can't thank them enough, you know, particularly with the 410 side. We have to shoot TSS to be able to shoot the 410. And when you're talking that those younger kids, 8, 9, 10 years old, being able to shoot the 410, nice light gun, not a lot of recoil. And that's critical because you hit a kid a little bit too hard on the recoil. And as you guys well know, I'm sure, you know, they'll flinch for years.
Yeah, so, they won't come back the next year, that's sure.
Yeah, or they'll stop.
Yeah.
So, you know, so being able to make this experience positive in every way, shape, or form is important. So, you know, we certainly couldn't do that without donations like what we got from Boss. We did receive a 410 donated from Good Life Guns up in Jay Maine. They're looking to help us and sponsor us with some more stuff going down the road. But the rest of the stuff so far we've purchased through donations that we've got. Okay. So
that's good. I mean, we have some affiliates that I'll be talking to after this just to make sure and kind of put the bug in their ear to see if they want to get involved in this and help out. So it may be some avenues that you all can check out.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. We can't thank you enough for doing stuff like that for us. It goes a long ways.
Yeah, about every organization or company that we deal with is big into youth hunting and keeping the hunting heritage alive. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, the Nature's Voice Game Calls business was founded on, and this podcast is we have to keep the hunting heritage alive, and we do that through our youth. You know, that's really the only way we're going to be able to do it, to carry this tradition on. And people that align with those, you know, same kind of beliefs, that's who we partner with. You know, we don't use any products that we don't believe in or use ourselves. And I'm sure you guys are the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, same thing. And honestly, when we started the program, that was the big discussion point. Because, you know, you can see it all across the country with anti-hunting groups putting forward different pieces of legislation to try to chip away at things.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it was like a light going off. You know, we've seen hunter participation rates dropping, and it's like, hold up. Not only are the participation rates dropping, but if people aren't hunting, they're less likely to vote to support hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So I said, if we don't get more kids involved, we might not have a sport, let alone, you know, lose it because, you know, the generations just don't do it, you know, which would be terrible, but we might lose it long before while I'm still, you know, looking to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And,
definitely,
you know, that's a scary thought. So, you know, we're not going to get every one of these kids to be lifelong hunters, but we're probably going to get most of them to be lifelong voters that support.
Yeah.
So that's important too.
One thing that I've found just through reading and, you know, even myself, my family, is if you start a kid in the woods and you keep them in the outdoors or kind of just give them a little hint of what it is to be a hunter and a gatherer, you know, they want to continue that as they get older. I've just now recently seen it with my daughter. She loved to fish when she was, you know, 3, 4, 5. And then she got into dance. She turned into a little princess. but now she's coming back to the fishing, and she's gradually wanting to start to get back into it. But it's because of that, what I planted later on, or, you know, early on in her life, that it's starting to come back on. And, you know, I think, you know, our podcast is platformed around God, family, country, and everything outdoors. And I think that goes right along with, you know, your religion or your Christianity or anything like that. So it's a good basis. So with that said, I think Dave has a scripture of the day.
I do have a scripture of the day. So scripture of the day this evening is out of 1 John. It's chapter 1, verse 5. And so he says, "This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And, you know, I think it's good because, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, God does bad things, you know, or whatever. But if it's darkness or if it's terrible or, you know, that's not God. Yeah. I mean, there's an adversary, the devil, out there as well. Mm-hmm. And so if it's darkness, that's got his signature on it, you know. Yeah. And, you know, God is love too. And so, you know, if you're seeing things in the world that's not love, that's selfish, and, you know, that's one of the things about you guys, what you're doing with these youth and what you're doing with these veterans, that's selfless. You know, that's not like, you know, hey, I'm going to go out and spend my Saturday, you know, just enjoying myself and mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a big deal. And,
yeah, it's a service. You guys are absolutely putting forth that service, and we sure appreciate it. And yeah, it's helping continue the hunting heritage.
Yeah.
You're putting a great light on a great thing. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh yeah, just to go back to what you were saying, Mike, about your daughter coming back around to fishing. I mean, I'm sure you just saw my Facebook post this week. My youngest daughter always came hunting, but never wanted to be the one to squeeze the trigger and end an animal's life. But all that changed 2 years ago when she got a moose permit, which we talked about on an earlier podcast this year or last year. And this year she decided, you know, she's gonna humor the old man and say, "Hey, I'm gonna go youth day turkey hunting." And, you know, she was very fortunate on her very first youth day hunt, and she got a nice bird, 19 to 20 pounds. Actually, you know, using a brand new call, as you know. I tend to be a creature habit, but this year decided I'm gonna try different calls.
Yeah.
And now she wants to go for bird number two. So I never thought I'd see this from this kid. And
that's awesome.
Every year I just turn her out and like you said, you know, it sticks with them.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it helps also too, when she went on that moose hunt, that you had all the generations of your family there, and she sees the lineage behind that. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that I grew up in. This is something that my grandfather done or my great grandfather. So she sees that and she wants to carry it on. I think it's awesome.
Absolutely.
Ron and Hunter, you still there?
Yeah, yes, sir. I got you guys. Yeah, I got you.
You guys got better service than Eric now. It's swapped. You guys.
I slept outside.
You guys sitting in the same chair out there in the garage?
No, I'm inside. I'm on the Elon Musk Starlink Wi-Fi connection.
So man, okay.
I've heard that's amazing.
I think that's why I'm doing so well. Yeah, thank Elon for that.
Yeah, a little free advertisement there for Elon Musk on Starlink.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I hate to say it. It's a good product. So,
well, I know. There's people here in West Virginia that use it and have great success with it. So
absolutely.
You got a review from West Virginia all the way to Maine.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, and you know, it used to be HughesNet around here. Awesome. You know, you'd have to do the satellite with the HughesNet.
But yeah.
Now Starlink's, man, it's I've heard
and,
it's great.
And they just keep putting up more satellites.
Yeah.
They're not stopping.
No. They're not slowing down. Sure do. They're going to go to Mars and put up more satellites.
Good possibility. That's for sure. Well, guys, it was great having you on this evening. Ron and Hunter and Eric, you guys were awesome. We appreciate your time.
It's great. Great time.
Thanks for telling us about Moose Maine Kids. I mean, it's just it's a great thing what's going on, and keep up the good work. You know, if you guys need any help, please let us know. Any calls donated, let us know, and we would love to help you out with those turkey calls or deer calls.
Oh, well, that sounds wonderful. I think we'll probably take you up on that for next year.
Yep, that sounds great. We'll be ready for it. And like I said, thanks again for your time. and you all keep us updated. We'll have all the links and things that we talked about during this podcast in our notes and our descriptions when this airs. This will air next Tuesday. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Yep. Thank you guys very much. Really appreciate being on.
Yep, no problem. Eric, thank you, sir.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Good luck this season.
Yeah, yep. Thank you, Hunter. All right, guys, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. And be sure to check out Moose Main Kids on YouTube. They got a YouTube channel. Check them out on Facebook. Give them a like. If you guys can send them any support, send it your way. Let's keep the hunting heritage alive. Thanks, guys. Have a good night. Are you looking for that European or craft beer culture? Breathe Wine and Culture Company, where your wine and craft beer culture thrives. Located in Cross Lanes, West Virginia, and coming soon to downtown Huntington, West Virginia, the Breathe Wine and Culture Company offers over 150 types of craft beer, extensive wine choices, thoughtful gifts, and even grab-and-go food options, as well as specialized catering. Shop local, shop small for a unique experience. You can check them out on their Facebook page or give them a call today at 304-823-4577. Breathe Wine and Culture Company, 304-823-4577.